Hey there, One Pride Nation. This is Zach.
And Brendan.
And we are
Lions Basement Banter.
What's up, One Pride Nation? Today we are going to be talking about the favorite moments of the Combine. We're going to do our mock draft twos for post-Combine. And then we've got quite a few transactions to look at across the NFL and quite a few within the organization as well. So let's talk about our favorite moments of the Combine that happened last week, Thursday through Sunday. Brendan, do you have any favorite moments?
I think you have more moments, really, that you like. Mine is more of performances that I like. There's probably three guys that stood out to me, all on defense, and one of them was my guy Chop Robinson from Penn State. The 40 time that he ran was absolutely incredible. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was one of, if not the fastest 40 times for an edge rusher this combine. He had a 4.48 40, which was the second fastest for edge rushers. Now that I'm looking at it, first was Dallas Turner from Bama with a 4.46. But I just thought he looked really smooth and he looked fast. And if I didn't like him before, I certainly like him now. I think I'd definitely take him over the other Robinson on the edge, Darius from Missouri. I know Darius has probably a better mentality and a better story, but I just think Robinson's the better Chop Robinson is the better athlete over Darius. The other one also on the D-line that I really liked was Braden Fisk out of Florida State, interior D-lineman.
He showed out.
He was impressive.
He showed out. He definitely increases his draft stock for sure.
I've never seen a guy at that position move as smoothly as he did on that three-bag drill. He was insane. There was no hitch in his step. It was just pure, almost, I want to say, poetry watching him go. It was just all fluid motion. No stop. He just went at it, and it was crazy. Nice. The third and final guy I want to talk about is one that I've fallen in love with in the draft, and if there's any way for us to trade up and get him, I want him.
Oh, no.
It's Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. That's not who I thought you were going with.
Who'd you think I was going with?
I thought you were going Darius Robinson.
What? Darius Robinson? I just talked about him when I talked about Chop.
Well, I know, but I thought that's who you were saying you fell in love with for the draft.
I don't know. That's probably you're falling more in love with his story,
yep,
and the way he talks.
That's why
than
I was afraid
else.
You were going to say it.
No. Okay. No. The guy I fell in love with was Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. That guy is a monster at cornerback. He is fast. And, I mean, just the measurables that we saw, they to me just solidified what we saw at the Senior Bowl. You get that kind of athleticism and mix it in with what we saw at the Combine, he's going to be shutting down guys in coverage for years to come.
He's like, honestly, from what I saw, and I wasn't like, not that I wasn't super high on him, but he wasn't like, oh, I gotta have him type person going into the Combine, but he's like a sneaky Sauce Gardner.
No, I don't. I can't say enough to say that. I mean, he could be that level of player.
He's under the. He's an. I'm not. Yeah, I'm
under
not
the radar
he's
for
he's
sure.
He's an under the radar Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I'm really looking at, and I've been doing, you know, not officially, but I've been doing mock drafts and just seeing how things could shake out any way that he could end up. I don't see him falling past at worst like 2021. I think. My sweet spot for him is the Steelers. I think that's where he ends up.
Where are they picking?
20, I think.
Okay. I saw him at like 18.
20, yeah.
A lot. Like
he's at
18,
20.
Somewhere in there.
The way I look at it is, I'm almost set that J.J. McCarthy is going in the top 10 this year. There's no doubt that I feel like if the Giants don't do it, someone's going to trade up and take him. And it may be a mistake, but it's going to happen. I mean,
I agree. I think he's moved up. Yep.
And if that happens, I don't know. I had a lot of guys slipping if that happens. I had Brock Bauer slipping out of the top 15 even. But
ooh.
He was going to land. I have him landing at 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Anyway, That's mock draft stuff. Those are the guys I loved at the Combine. I guess you could call it my favorite stories. Not really stories, more just performances.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and talk about yours.
Yeah, mine are more stories. I mean, I obviously looked at the analytics and everything for my mock drafts to get, you know, the movers and shakers there. But I also watched some of the things that are enjoyable as players, because you know you're going to get these guys. These guys are athletes. Every single one of them are athletes. You're going to have guys that fall. You're going to have guys that jump based on their athleticism, and that's definitely happening. But one thing that I wanted to point out, since we're on J.J. McCarthy, is I just want to say I'm super excited that we have Goff, and I think he gets extended, and I think he stays, and that's how I want it. But, man, if we were in the market for a quarterback, and it's easy to say because I'm a Michigan fan, but, dude, he's down there. He's running down to, like, DBs and wide receivers and people that he's not even in the drills and dabbing them up and giving them high fives. And he's just, to me, like, he's a Dan Campbell kind of guy. He's all in. To me, what he reminded me of is he reminded me of Aiden Hutchinson because of his motor and how excited he is for other people's success. I loved that.
Please don't tell me you want them to take J.J. McCarthy.
I am 0% saying that. I would be so mad if that happened. I am not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is if J.J. McCarthy had fallen into a season where the Lions had struggled and we didn't have a quarterback of the future, which Jared Goff is, in my opinion, I would love to have seen J.J. McCarthy there. But that's...
Yeah, maybe if it was last year and he was not getting the hype that he was... you know, this year I would be okay with seeing him, you know, us take a chance on him like a Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, to like a Michael Penix spot or something maybe. But yeah, I was super excited about that. The Xavier Worthy thing everybody's talking about. That was super cool to see. He ran the 4.25 on his first 40. There was speculation that he was gonna run it once and say, you know what, I've shown what I need to show. But they actually went back to him and said, hey, are you going to try to go for this or are you done? And he said, I'm going for the record. And sure as heck, he beat it with a 4.22. That was really fun to see. And another spot where J.J. McCarthy ran over and was dabbing him up and stuff. That was cool, too. And then my last one, just a really fun one, was watching Kool-Aid McKinstry drinking Kool-Aid and guessing the flavors and stuff. I know that has nothing to do with the Combine, but it was just hilarious to me.
I never saw that. where did you see that at?
I think it was on DB Day or something, and he was with one of the reporters or something, and they were doing like that blind, you know, the viral blind drink test or whatever.
When I saw you had that on your list, I had no idea what you were talking
about. Oh, man, it made me laugh because obviously Kool-Aid, I don't know. It's silly, but it was a funny thing. So, so those are basically our favorite spots of the Combine. I have other ones that I could do for like you're saying, but I think it was cool to have you do things that were more analytical and then a couple fun things too.
Yeah. So, well, if anybody else has any highlights, feel free to shout out, come on to our X page, follow us, let us know what you think, some of your favorite performances or whatever, but we'd be more than happy to kind of have you on, even if you wanted to, and just kind of debate those, talk about them, talk it out.
For sure. Even if it's somebody that didn't impress you, if it's someone that, and I'll talk about this soon in our mock drafts, but if it's somebody that you were super high on and then you saw their combine and you're like, maybe not the guy. We'd like to hear that too. I mean, good and bad.
Yeah.
So, okay. And that moves us into some happenings around the NFL here. It was the last week to put the franchise tags on players.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few of them.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised at the amount of guys that got the franchise tag.
I guess I'll just go down and just name them off real quick. Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman received one. Patriots safety Kyle Duggar got one. Bucks safety Antoine Winfield got one, unfortunately. I think there were a lot of people trying to get him.
On the Lions?
I've seen that.
He would have been way too pricey at a safety.
I think so too. And really for safety, I think we're almost set, but we'll look into that a little later. The Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson. Now here's some somewhat breaking news. They tagged him, but now they've also extended his contract 4 years.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like what is it? He was at 4 years, $78 million. Was that something?
I think I didn't see the number honestly. I just saw the 4 years that they had extended him, and it was
Yeah, no, it is a monster contract for sure.
What do you think about that? Was it worth it? It's hard to say, but...
I think it was. I mean, it's hard to find that shutdown corner nowadays, and he's kind of morphed into that for the Bears, so I don't think it's a bad contract by any means. It might end up being a steal down the road.
I think it will, but the only thing that I would say is if he was okay with the tag, which I never heard any bad things about it. I don't think any guys are ever like happy about the tag, but if he was okay with receiving the tag, he's had one breakout season. I'd love to have seen him play out that tag and then them sign him next year.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it either, but my feeling would be that he wasn't going to play on the tag because he still has to sign it. You can tag him, doesn't mean he's going to sign it.
Yep, I haven't heard it, but yeah, that's true.
I think he was waiting. I think the feeling was that there was going to be a long-term contract, so they were just placing that as a placeholder until they could get that deal done. Obviously, it didn't take very long.
All right, and now I'm going to mention three names that are going to break some Lions fans' hearts because they've been at the forefront of some of the talks for who we've kind of been dreaming about getting, including me and you. Jaguars edge rush, Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, that one for me personally, it didn't hurt. I won't say that. It wasn't a surprise. It
would have been nice.
I knew from the very beginning that they were going to franchise tag him. They have said that they wanted him to be there. He said he's wanted to be there. I had no doubt that they would tag him and then they'll get a long-term deal done to keep him there. That was a very big dream for me.
All right. And in the same breath, Panthers edge rush, Brian Burns, same thing here. So,
yeah, but, I wouldn't close the door on that one yet.
I don't think it's worth trading what they're going to ask for.
I just read some stuff today from, I don't remember her name. Is it Josina Anderson? Something like that.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't exactly know her first name. But she's a reporter for the NFL, and she was talking with a source in the NFL who said basically that the Panthers need to reevaluate what they're doing with their, you know, in terms of retaining personnel and that, because at this point, she said that there's feeling around the league that they need to essentially look at, I'm trying to word this right. It's more so that they are not going to get what they're thinking they're going to get for Brian Burns because they don't understand the fact that you're not getting a draft haul or a haul of picks for a guy who's on the last year of his deal. Had they tried to make this move a year ago, 2 years ago, major haul of picks. Would have gotten a major haul of picks, but they didn't. He's on the last year of his contract, so there's not going to be many teams that are going to be willing to give them what they want and then dish out the money to re-sign him.
What a terrible oversight on the Panthers front office.
Oh, well, is that such a surprise? Their owner is the most incompetent person I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, as a business person, how do you not, I don't know, how do you not see that?
But and then she also capped off her post on X by saying that the feeling around the league is that Brian Burns, if the Panthers are actually serious about moving him, should be available for a third-round pick.
I'm making that deal now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that deal now. Okay. Then the last one that's been talks of, well, there's another one, but we'll get into that. The last one that I have here that's most likely not going to happen is the Ravens defensive tackle, Justin Madubuike.
Yeah, well, Madubuike, I heard a lot of talks. That one was a surprise to me because I heard that he was, you know, all signs are pointing to him hitting the free agent market. So that one was a bit of a surprise to me.
Was that his decision or theirs?
I didn't hear it from him, you know, sources close to him or sources close to the team. It was more like someone in the Ian Rapoport realm or Adam Schefter realm who said that.
Just heard talks.
Talks were that he was looking like he was going to hit the market.
Okay. The next one we think is possibly a sign-and-trade situation, and it's been said that that's probably what it is Chiefs cornerback Legarius Sneed.
Yeah, that's 100% a sign-and-trade. The reports came out after that they were preparing for life without Legarius Sneed, meaning that they were looking to trade him. Now, the feeling with him is that he's going to be a second round pick, he should be available. I just read that today that a second round pick would get the deal done for him. I don't know if that's from a reliable source, but it was a source that seems to get some stuff right on X.
Okay.
But the other thing that was making me know or made me feel like he was definitely gone was the fact that Chris Jones tweeted today, a very cryptic tweet. He just said KC with a bunch of dots after it, which makes me believe that he knows that he's getting a contract. He's staying in Kansas City this year.
That's breaking, because I believe the thought up to, as far as I know, up to this podcast recording, is that he was gone.
Yeah, no, he tweeted that, and the feeling to me is that he's going to get re-signed to a deal, which means they're not going to have the room to sign L'Jarius Sneed or keep him even on that tag number that he's going to command.
And
so,
that's probably true, but remember Chris Jones. He's a pot stirrer. He also followed the Lions when everybody was saying Chris Jones
yeah,
the Lions.
That's so social media stuff, though.
I know.
Chris
I'm
Jones,
just saying.
Chris Jones is a pretty straight shooter for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say about L'Jarius Sneed, too, is should the Lions trade for him, which I think there's a pretty fair opportunity they do. I think there's a few other teams that have been in talks, Miami, one of them, and the Vikings, also one of them. If they do that, Lions fans, remember, the Jalen Johnson contract is going to be a great barometer for what you're going to have to pay that guy.
That's
going to
hurt.
So you're going to be paying him somewhere around 17 to 18 mil a year.
Yep, and I've heard north of 20.
I don't think you're going to pay 20. He's 27 years old.
That's true. After what we saw with Jalen Johnson and how young he is and everything and the contract he got, like you said, that's a good starting point, and I think that might change those thoughts. All right, so the last one we have here, and we'll probably talk about L'Jarius Sneed in a little more, but we have Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins, and I think that's the last one. If I forgot, you guys can call me out on X.
Yeah, I think I mean, looking at the list, it looks fine to me. I don't see anyone that was left out, and if it was, it might not be a major player.
Right.
But, no, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
So you want to know a team that didn't use their tag for since 2018? That's the Detroit Lions. Last time they tagged somebody was 18, Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah, well, you look back at it, who have they really had to tag? Kenny Galladay, maybe the last one I can think of?
Yeah. Did they trade Slay? They traded Slay, didn't they?
They traded him away.
Yep.
That was Matt Patricia.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I can't really think of anybody that would have been an opportunistic or you have to tag somebody.
Galladay was the shocker back when he was hitting free agent. I think there was a lot of confusion on why they didn't tag him, but
that worked out.
It worked out, yeah.
That worked out. Okay, so that's what we have for our tags, and next week we will definitely be talking about some free agents, because that's going to start picking up pretty quick here, and yeah, we're going to have a lot of movements going on, I think. All right, and so that's what we have for franchise tags around the league. Now we can talk about some transactions that have been happening this week around the league prior to free agency. You want to touch on a couple of those?
Yeah, I mean, I only have one major one that I can think of right now, and that's the fact that Saints are expected to release Michael Thomas, wide receiver.
He's going to have to find a new hospital.
Well, I saw somebody on X say essentially that, you know, oh no, who's going to sign him to be injured the whole year?
Yeah, so he's got to take up somebody's spot. Also, another one out of Cincinnati is a shocker to me, honestly. The Tyler Boyd got is not re-signing. I was not necessarily shocked by that, but they released Joe Mixon. That's a shocker to me.
Did they release him officially, or are they expected?
I do believe it said they are expected
okay,
to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tyler Boyd doesn't shock me at all. They have Ja'Marr Chase locked up, and they've got T. Higgins now on a franchise. I assume the idea is to hopefully keep him around long term.
Reports are a very angry T. Higgins on a tag.
I would be too. He's could be making wide receiver one money somewhere else.
He's not happy. He might not sign it. I don't know if he did or not. I don't know.
Is that all you have for transactions?
The last one, and we'll... No, actually. Okay. The last one I have is I'm not really sure who's going to play for the Buffalo Bills this year because they have released just about everybody.
I tell you who's going to play for them. Mitch Trubisky.
Man.
Oh Mitch
gosh.
Trubisky just signed
We're
with
back
the,
on this thing. Oh my gosh.
The MVP, Mitch Trubisky.
I think you're a Mitch Trubisky fan at this point.
You wait for it. You wait for it. Give him 1 year. I'm not saying he's good.
He's
what I'm saying
he's
is
going to take over Josh Allen.
No.
I'm going to lose it.
Give him 1 year and he's going to do the same thing he did last time in Buffalo. He's going to look good as a backup guy and somebody's going to say, "Hey, he could be our starter." And he'll do the same cycle he just did with Pitts.
And then he'll be Baker Mayfield 2.0. And you're looking at me really dirty like. But, I mean, they've gotten rid of Jordan Poyer. They got rid of Tre'Davious White. And the list goes on and on, honestly. But, yeah, I don't know who's going to be playing for them this year other than Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. Maybe they can throw the ball to each other. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I also heard that there's speculation that Diggs wants a trade again.
Well, they have to get rid of some guys. They're in the Rams boat, kind of, where they were a few years ago, maybe with a bit more draft capital, but which is ironic because Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, was quoted as saying that they didn't want to end up like the Rams.
I was hoping you'd go there. That's a blueprint not to follow, and they're going to try to avoid it.
Yeah, you got to get rid of this. I don't have a problem with the... I think it was smart to get rid of Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer's aging, Tre'Davious White is aging, and Tre'Davious White's coming off two consecutive season-ending injuries. He had a torn ACL and a ruptured Achilles.
Yeah. I took a look at him for a minute thinking that he might be a solid depth piece, but yeah, I don't know. We've already got somebody that we re-signed in the secondary that's going to be coming off an injury, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. So
yeah, I don't. That's what I was going to say. I don't think it's smart to do that when you've already got Emmanuel Mosley on the roster.
Yep. All right. That's what I've got for moves around the league. There's a ton more, honestly, but those are some of the highlights, and it's hard to do all that in one podcast. So
yeah, well, when we're moving on now. We'll move into the state of the Lions here. I just talked about T. Higgins and wanting that wide receiver one money, which is why you said he's probably unhappy with the fact he got the tag. Talking about wide receiver one money, Amon-Ra St. Brown is due for a new contract, and looks like that's going to be happening sooner rather than later, if reports are correct from the combine. A lot of people saying that they're really close to getting an extension done with him, and it should land somewhere between 26 to 28 mil annually, which would make sense because 26 per year is exactly what Mike Evans just got on his new two-year deal with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And let's throw this out there. If that is about where Amon-Ra ends up, my opinion, if Mike Evans is the marker for that. Look at Mike Evans' age. He's still catching. He's still getting 1,000 yards a season. He's still up there. Eventually, he's going to drop off, though. And if we're getting somebody at Amon-Ra's age for that price for 3-4 years, that makes me feel pretty good.
Well, that's going to be about where the market is for wide receivers. So Mike Evans is a special case because he's at that age where usually you're not going to give him a contract of that size, but 10 straight years of 1,000-plus yard seasons. I mean, he's not, you know, regressing at all. So
no, I'm people like that could go forever and then they just drop. I mean, Tom Brady. I mean, you could go forever and then eventually he outlives the desire to play football, honestly, his abilities. And that might be what Mike Evans does.
Yeah, and he's not even close. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, no, yet. I'm just saying it happens. But
no, for sure. But then the other one that I was going to say is it's good for Amon-Ra to land there because you look at another guy like Justin Jefferson who's due a deal. Obviously, I'm not going to put Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra on the same tier because Jefferson is a special, like, generational athlete at that position.
Yes.
But he is pushing for upwards of 30 mil a year, somewhere between 30 to 32, I've heard.
And One thing I do want to point out is it's really nice to have somebody like Amon-Ra compared to Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is quiet. I mean, he's cocky, but he's quiet about it. But I haven't heard I haven't heard anything out of Amon-Ra's camp or out of Amon-Ra himself on any kind of podcast or anything that he's on say he wants to break the bank like Justin Jefferson said.
Oh,
which
no.
I mean, you got to get yours, but I don't know. That's always off-putting to me.
No, I don't think Amon-Ra really. I think he knows how much money he's worth, and he's just going to let his agent take care of the business side. He's just going to play football.
His football speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yep, I love that. All right, so we kind of talked about L'Jarius Sneed in our last segment. You kind of said what your thoughts are, where he'd end up. Now that we've seen the tags and everything, do you think we should take a look at him? I know you said that we most likely are, or it's at least going to be in play. Do you think we should take a look at him? And then to piggyback off of that, after seeing the tags and the new signings and stuff and who's cut, is there anybody you want to change for free agency that would still be worth a pickup?
I have my heart set on getting L'Jarius Sneed. I think it's a great pickup, and I think he's going. I think you give him like a 3-year deal on like that 16, 17, you know, 18 mil a year, whatever. Get him till he's 30, and then see where he's at. Reevaluate. But you're talking about an all-pro corner. Those don't just fall off the.
That's a hard
tree.
Position to be an all-pro at.
Yeah, and those don't just become available all the time. And he's relatively young, so I would take him. I would do it. I think a second rounder and maybe a day 3 pick next year gets it done. I think if the Chiefs want more than that, then they're just living in la la land. I don't know.
So what are you saying, like a second and a fifth?
Yeah, I think that's precisely what I had him on my last mock draft was trading with the Chiefs, giving him our second round pick this year and our fifth round pick next year.
Would you trade a second and a fifth for him, just the way you just said, and then one of our thirds this year for Brian Burns?
Yeah, I think I would do that. I mean, you're getting two proven players as opposed to drafting two guys that you're not going to, you're basically questioning whether your coaches can develop them into what they need to be. But the other thing is money. It's just not going to work out. There's no way you get both of those guys and you can re-sign them. It's just not. It's not going to happen. You're going to get one big ticket free agent, whether that's by trade or on the open market. You're going to get one big ticket guy, and then you sign depth pieces around him for minimum deals, like, 1 to 3, 5 mil a year, somewhere in that range.
So are you off of the Tyler Boyd hype train then?
I don't know if I was ever on the Tyler Boyd hype train.
Okay. I thought you were kind of leaning towards wanting to grab him because we didn't have much for a wide receiver market.
Yeah, no, I like him, but I don't think Tyler Boyd's going to cost that much. I mean, maybe he costs you, I think high end, he'll probably cost you like 8 mil a year or something like that, but I don't think he's going to be, if anyone pays him like upwards of 10 mil, I think you're crazy.
You would still rather have Tyler Boyd than Josh Reynolds, though.
I don't know. I think they're going to be like the same player in our system. They're probably going to have the same production. So if you're going to spend
more,
they'll
have the same role regardless.
Yeah, if you're going to have to spend more to get Tyler Boyd as opposed to just keeping Josh Reynolds, then just keep Josh Reynolds.
Right. I mean, it depends on the money and what Josh Reynolds is looking for. But yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously that's all kind of hearsay until we see what that looks like in free agency. So
well, I've had Josh Reynolds out the door anyway. I'm assuming he's gone anyway, which would be why I've made some of the picks I have in my 2 mock drafts now.
Okay, let's keep moving, and we'll get into those mock drafts shortly here. Continuing on with State of the Lions, updates within the organization this week. We've got some signings, we got some releases, we've got all sorts of stuff going on. So 2 tight ends are back. Shane Zylstra re-signed a 1-year deal, as well as Brock Wright being tendered by the Lions on his contract. What do you think?
Well, I think Shane Zylstra is definitely back. There is still a chance Brock Wright doesn't come back.
That's true. Yep.
But I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. Brock Wright's not the kind of guy that people are going to be like, oh, man, we got to go get that guy.
So explain why he might not be back, I guess.
Like, I mean, what well, because, put him not back? Because they signed him. The tendering his contract essentially means that he is a part of the Lions organization, but other teams can offer him a contract.
Yep.
If they do that, the Lions have the chance to match that contract at any chance. Yep. They can match that offer sheet. I don't think there's anyone going to come out here and be like, man, we really got to get him.
Yeah.
I just don't think.
Let's pay him $4 million or whatever to bring him in. So, yeah, I don't think that's happening. That's not a knock on Brock Wright, because when he's called upon, he is.
No, he's a good player. I'm just saying I don't think he's not going to be one of those guys that you're like pounding on the table to go get.
Right.
From a different organization.
Right. Yep. Okay. And just so you guys know, I knew that. I just wanted to make sure people that didn't know knew it.
Yeah, that's a likely story.
I did, for real. All right, so those two tight ends we most likely have back. We for sure have one. Shane Zylstra will for sure be back. He's been re-signed. Brock Wright, most likely. So now we go to the defense. Well, let's stay on the offense, actually. Something happened today, actually.
Yeah, we're keeping Zonovan Knight, which I don't hate. I think he's young. He's young, and he really looked good when he was with the Jets. We didn't get to see as much of him this year. He showed some flashes in the preseason and at the limited opportunities he did get, but I think he's a good guy to keep at RB3 for sure.
Craig's gone, correct?
You would think so, but that's all going to depend on what they see from him as value-wise in terms of special teams and that. He could still stay.
Gotcha. Okay. I think it's good that we're keeping him, too. I totally agree. Zonovan is going to be a good player, like you said, for, running back 3, possibly, and then special teams, like you said. And speaking of special teams, we'll kind of segue from special teams to defense, and we've got cornerback Chase Lucas, who is reportedly not being tendered today.
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. Chase Lucas, he showed out in the preseason, and I thought he might get more looks on defense, but they really didn't use him all that much. So he was more of a practice squad guy anyway and a core special teams guy too.
It doesn't surprise me either, because the way I looked at it, I liked Chase Lucas in the preseason. I really did. I thought he had some potential, but I think the writing was on the wall when they essentially chose Kendall Vildor over him when it was necessary for that cornerback spot. So. I kind of saw the writing on the wall there, too. Sticking with cornerbacks and special teamers, Khalil Dorsey, he looks like he's not coming back. He's possibly going to be hitting free agency. That's not for sure, but that's most likely.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would assume. I didn't think Khalil Dorsey was going to be back anyway. So
I like his speed. I like his speed.
Yeah. I mean, you can find speed anywhere, though.
Yep. So we're going to go down the rest of this list, and one thing I'm going to point out is look at all the secondary guys. There's moves being made with secondary guys, which means I think Brad Holmes is doing what he needs to do to get this team to the next level. We'll see, but he's definitely paying attention to the spot, in my opinion, we need help most.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and I'm just going to start looking at these guys we've got. Emmanuel Mosley, who was re-signed to a one-year deal. We don't have the details on that contract. They haven't released them yet.
But it's probably going to be cheap, right?
It's going to be cheap. I mean, you're coming off 2 consecutive season-ending injuries, and he didn't show us anything last year because it was literally like the second or third play.
We probably gave them the Graham Glasgow prove-it signing is what we probably did this year. So we'll see. Again, I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming that's kind of the treatment he's getting.
Yeah, no, I think they like Emmanuel Mosley. I think he must have showed something locker room wise that they like. They think they can keep him around, and they're gonna give him the chance to recover again because they like the work that he's been putting in.
Yep.
On and off the field.
Okay. We'll stick with that last cornerback spot. Jerry Jacobs is becoming an unrestricted free agent, and he is not being tendered by the Lions.
Yeah, that one hurt a little bit. I've always been a little bit of a... I love Jerry Jacobs. He's kind of always been that guy that no one really believed in.
I like his story, yep. Yeah.
And when we took him, I think he might have been undrafted out of Arkansas. I think that's where we got.
Correct.
He was an undrafted,
undrafted
free
yes.
agent.
Yep.
He, I mean, for a guy to be undrafted to come in and look like a cornerback one at some points and be a reliable cornerback two, he's just, it hurts to see him go, but I understand why they're doing it. That secondary vastly underperformed last season. And like you said, the moves that are being made, to me, signifies that Brad Holmes is completely rebuilding that secondary.
Yep, and so you got something else on that real quick?
You're talking safety?
Yep.
Yeah. There's nothing in stone yet, but I would expect that CJGJ is not going to be back for us next year at that safety spot. The biggest reason why is because I read today, you know, that he's probably going to get a one-year prove-it deal. And the way the Lions secondary worked this season, they do
for
a lot
Detroit
of,
or whoever he goes to?
To wherever he goes
okay.
to.
Okay.
Because he was injured. He didn't prove anything
right,
last year.
Right.
So I think what's going to happen is somebody's going to sign him to a one-year prove-it deal. It doesn't make sense for the Lions to do it because when you're signed to a prove-it deal, that means you're probably going to be a starter somewhere. And you're going to basically hedge your bets and say, hey, I can play at a high level. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make my money next year.
All right, so let me point something out that's been trending in the NFL the last 2 days, and I want to see what you think, whether this helps CJ in the free agency or if it hurts him. This might actually make it so he doesn't have to do that one-year prove-it deal. Pittsburgh Steelers, Keanu Neal, failed his physical, is not being re-signed. Jordan Poyer from Buffalo, gone. Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams from Seattle, gone. Phillies, Kevin Byard, gone. Broncos, Justin Simmons, gone. There's a whole lot of open safety spots all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, I just think that proves my point a little bit because you're not going to... What's happening right now with the safety market seems to be what was happening with the running back market. That position is being a bit devalued right now. So I don't think anyone's going to go spend big money on a safety right now. So... Like I was saying, he's going to get that one-year prove-it deal, and the reason it doesn't make sense for the Lions to do that is because they showed this year that they use their safeties in a rotation. If you're on a prove-it deal, you don't want to be somewhere where you're going to be in a rotation because how many opportunities are you really going to get to prove?
Right, and CJ, including that thought on the rotational portion, CJ made it clear when he was coming back that he did not come back to be in a rotational spot. That is an X post and it's out there screenshotted. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, it's fine. We took a chance on him this year and it didn't work out. And he was a great player when he was with Philly and New Orleans, but he just, you know, that injury just disrupted everything for him this year.
Yeah. So that's what we have up to the recording of this podcast for the Lions. We know that things are going to be moving pretty quick here. We will keep you guys updated on X as things happen. Be sure to follow us there. Be sure to tune in every week here. I want to take this time to also throw out there that Brendan and I and the legend will all three be at the NFL draft in Detroit this year. And if anybody's been listening and following from day one, we'd definitely love to have you guys seek us out. So hit us up and we'll meet up with you. And I think it'll be fun. Moving on to our main event, we have our post-combine mock draft 2.0, and I think we're going to do the same thing we did last week, and we'll just go essentially pick by pick or round by round essentially, and just kind of talk about them. I will warn you that I did not do as much on stats this time because we've seen what we've seen at the combine, and I think I can go off of that now.
Yeah, I don't. The first time I just wanted to show why I was picking guys. I don't think we need to do that really this time around, maybe another time, but in the interest of keeping this brief, we can just shy away from doing the stats
sure.
and stuff this time.
All right. Do you want to go first with round one?
Yeah, sure. So, you know how much I like round one trades. I did it last time.
I was going to say, did you pick in round one?
No, I traded out of round one last time. This time I stayed in round one.
Did you?
But I made a trade.
Oh. I see where you're going.
I moved up to pick 21. I made a trade with the Miami Dolphins.
we alluded to who would possibly land in that spot.
Yeah, he was gone.
Okay.
He was gone. There was one corner left that I thought he will be gone by the time Philly picks, if we don't get there. I think Philly picks 23, somewhere in that range. If we didn't get to 21, 22, we weren't going to get him.
I'll go on record saying I really hope this is not Rakestraw, because I am not high on Rakestraw at all.
No, I think Rakestraw's a guy you grab at the end of the first, or you wait till the second round
to
get him.
Okay.
I moved up to get Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Bama.
You think he's going to go that quick?
I think he's going to go. I think he could go anywhere from pick 20 to pick, I don't know, to pick 30. I think anywhere in that range is a sweet spot for him. But what I'm seeing is there's a lot of teams that need corners right now, so they might reach for guys.
Yep. And obviously, again, we're going to go with PFF doesn't know everything. It's an algorithm. But I will tell you, he was available at pick 36 in my draft.
And I'll also say this, though. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I don't know why anyone would call that a reach. He is a very good corner. He was cornerback one coming into this draft.
Honestly, yeah. Quinion Mitchell and Wiggins both kind of stole the show a little bit, but
yeah. And you know, Terry,
he didn't do anything to hurt
his teammate, has kind of jumped him too. Terry and Arnold is another one that people are looking at right now.
But again, that's another one of those stories. He said he loved his mom in the video and all this stuff, but he also,
I do have
a really
him going
player.
Before.
He is a really good player, though.
Kool-Aid McKinstry was the last guy in terms of corners that I think I have a first grade draft on, or first round grade on, I should say.
Okay.
Wiggins was gone in the top 10. I had him going to the Falcons at 8.
Okay.
And then I had Quinion Mitchell going right before him at pick 20, and I think that kind of kicks Brad Holmes in the pants and says we need to get something done. Because
is Cooper DeJean going in the first round still? I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Wiggins, DeJean, Arnold, and Mitchell all going before pick 21.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I think you know, you're going to see that there's a run on corners and you have to get up and get your guy, or you got to sit back and be okay with what's left.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I think looking back at first round trades, you really don't have to give up a ton unless you're moving like a huge amount of picks or you're moving into the top 10. You're not going to have to give up that much. So I have us trading with Miami. I have us giving up our 29th pick and our third round pick. Our third round pick, 92.
Of this year. Okay.
So you get a day one and a day two pick from this year. We move up to 21 and get that from Miami. And we get a fifth round pick from them next year.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty fair. I mean, they're going to get two probably blue chip guys with those. And I don't think... Looking at it, I don't think there's anyone that Miami needs. I think you look at them, their biggest need is offensive line right now.
Yep.
And they can, there's a lot of offensive linemen this year.
Yeah, their offensive weapons are all set, though, for sure. And their defensive secondary is good and might get better if the rumors are anything to be said. But I believe we saw what they were going to go after, possibly Legarius Sneed as well.
Yeah. So, I think this is a move we make if we don't get Legarius Sneed. Let me put that out.
Agreed. There. Agreed. And mine will be the same. So are you good with...
Yeah, my first round pick's good.
Okay. So you know how I love picking in the first round, right?
Yeah.
I traded out of the first round.
I think that's a more likely situation.
I do too. And this, again, is based on not getting... let me start by saying this is based on us not... My draft is based on us not getting Brian Burns or Legarius Sneed. I will throw that out there. I'll take this trade with a grain of salt because PFF lets you do a lot of things that maybe aren't real world going to happen, but I think it's close at least. The Cardinals need some first round picks. So I offered them my round one 29th pick as well as ours and Philly's round four for 25. I traded them ours, and I did that based on the fact that I think Philly's going to be a sooner pick, so I'd rather have theirs. and in return, I dropped back and got their round two 35th pick, and their round three 90th pick of this year. Is it realistic? Probably not, but it was it said this trade will be accepted, and so I took it.
Well, I want to challenge you on something there. You said the Cardinals need first-round picks. They already have two first-round picks.
Like, they want
them. They need first-round picks.
Because they suck.
Okay.
Enough said.
To me,
same reason the Bears need first-round picks.
In my opinion, I don't think they do it because, and this is just me, you know, offering a little bit, but I think they're going to get Marvin Harrison at 4.
Yep.
I think they're going to get either a defensive secondary guy or a defensive lineman or maybe an offensive lineman. One of those three with their second first round pick, which is back at like 26 or something like that,
and
I think.
Right back at 35.
Yeah, and then they're right back again.
Yep.
So to me, don't see it happening, but you know, in the interest of keeping it fun.
Let me do my mock draft.
Yeah, you do what you want to do.
Let me do my mock draft. Okay. But that's where I'm at on first round. I don't have anything for first round.
Okay, well, do you want to just move into your second round and tell us who you took with
yep.
the pick you got from them?
You want me to do both of them? Because now I have two. We'll go back and forth.
Yeah, no, you might as well. No. Yeah, because I have pick 61, you have pick 61, so
okay.
Might as well just keep it that way.
All right, so with the round two, 35th pick, I still stuck with cornerback TJ Tampa.
Oh, yeah. We all know why you stuck with cornerback TJ Tampa.
Do you want to say why?
Yeah, because you want to be best friends with his dad.
Do you want to say why
kidding.
We met his dad? Do you want me to point out why we met his dad?
Yeah, so I made a bit of a mistake. I post some graphics for our mock drafts, and I accidentally used the wrong image of TJ Tampa on the last mock draft that Zach had. I used one of his teammates. I don't exactly remember who it was, but I used the wrong guy, so I had to correct it, and TJ Tampa's dad actually reached out to us on X and let us know that that was the wrong image, but cool interaction to get from, you know, the family of a future NFL player.
Yeah, and it was happening during the combine. I mean, he was talking. It's shout out to Mark Tampa Sr. Just so you guys know, TJ Tampa is actually Mark Jr., not Tampa Jr., but that's what they call him. But yeah, it was cool because it was during the combine, and we actually have the picture that he sent us up on X, and it's his son, an NBA player, a couple other players, and one Brian Branch when they were in like a little league basketball, rec basketball. So that was pretty cool to see. And he said that he was following a lot of Lions people because of Brian Branch and would love for Tampa to be here. But I want to say that I had already chosen him before this, and I don't think I want to change that. I like his size, and I like what he brings to the table as a cornerback, and I think he's what we need.
No, I like TJ Tampa for sure. I don't have a problem with that.
Yep.
I think he's going to go either late first round or early second round, so that's right in that area.
Yep.
But I also like to point out that if we experience a sudden rise to fame, it's all me, because
he knows how to make mistakes.
Because I know how to reel in the dads of NFL players. Because I got Mark Tampa Sr. who interacted with us. And then I also got the father of Cooper Beebe, who liked one of our posts.
Which was pretty random.
On X, which was random. But, you know, the dads are out there looking for news on their sons and where they might end up. And I love it. That
shout out to Mr.
To
Beebe.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead with... Yeah, I'll stick with 61. I think we said I was going to do that. So, you guys will notice that I changed. I had Tavondre Sweat as one of these picks for a defensive lineman, and I've since changed my mind based on what I saw in the combine. And somebody who really impressed me and was barely available at 61, I'm going to completely come clean with you guys. I had to redo my mock draft so I could get him. So I'll be honest with you. But I really want Western Michigan's Marshawn Neyland. The dude has strength. He's super long. I think he's going to be a really good edge rusher. He's got the size that is definitely going to be a Brian Burns, a Josh Allen type player in the NFL. Not saying he gets that good, but he definitely has the intangibles for it for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about Marshawn Neyland, but I guess keep him home
for sure. Yep.
My round two pick 61, I decided to go in a different direction as well, except I took your pick from last week, and I'm taking Tavondre Sweat from Texas.
See, he just did not impress me. I thought he was going to. I talked him up, and he did not impress.
I don't know. I don't know. He was pretty good moving for his size.
I'll give you that.
And to me, when I'm looking at, I think you can't go wrong with this pick, either taking T'Vondre Sweat or
Marshawn Nealand.
Nope, Fisk out of Florida State.
If he was not available at 61.
If you're going to go interior lineman, I think that's where you have to go, is one of those two guys in the second round. Fisk is going to be more of your speed guy. He's going to be finesse. He's going to be kind of like a, honestly, he might be kind of similar to a Lee McNeil, just with a bit more speed and
this
and
last
twist.
Year's a Lee McNeil.
What?
The year before, he was a little bigger and not.
Yeah.
Not
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. But to me, I like that kind of player, and I think it would be interesting to match him up with a Liam, but I want that big boy in the middle. I want somebody who's going to push the center back, affect the pocket, and the one thing we saw this year was when we face mobile quarterbacks, the biggest problem is our edges get around and they collapse the pocket that way, but it leaves a hole right up the middle, and that's where guys run.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah. So what's going to eliminate that? Getting a guy in the middle that's going to push your center straight back. You're not running up the middle. You can go around the outside.
Yep, close the gap.
Yeah. So that's why I took him, and we don't need to talk much more about him because you already talked about him last week. So.
The only thing I will say about him is he fell to the middle third round in my mock draft, which is,
well,
is shocking.
He was on PFF, he's been devalued. Even before the combine, he was devalued, and a lot of people are PFF grading him at a late second, early third.
I do feel like that is a bias of PFF. Maybe
it is. It's not. I don't
think they're listening to what people are saying too much on that.
T'Vondre Sweat has proven production, and he's got crazy size. To me, it doesn't matter what you think's going to happen. There's an NFL organization out there that is going to take the chance and spend a pick before someone else gets to him.
The thing that shied me away from him is the somewhat recent thought. Now, he could end up being a Jalen Carter. I'll throw that out there. He could be a Jalen Carter. But the thing that scared me about him was two recent thoughts of, like I said last week, Nick Fairley. He could end up being that Nick Fairley guy that just doesn't have the motivation to do it. He's got all of the tools that he needs. He's got the size. He could be an absolute beast. It just scares me that he's not hungry enough.
I know. Well, I'm sure he's hungry enough. He's 366 pounds.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, I think to me, I don't think you question the motor of the kid because he's not shown you any reason to question the motor on him.
But again, I'm going to go back and say, to your point, agreeing with you, I'm basing that on what I've seen and heard by other people, just like I'm saying PFF did to drop him. So everything I've seen from Texas highlights and in the, you know, in the playoff, I didn't watch Texas much, but in the playoff, he's a beast. He's a big boy. So,
yeah.
And he moves. So yeah, you're probably right, but I'm scared, man. I'm scared. All right, so round three. I've got three picks in round three. So how
I'll just get rid of mine because I only got one third round pick.
Okay.
I'm sticking with my guy. I am taking Xavier Leggett out of wide receiver out of South Carolina.
Okay.
I originally, you know, took this pick because I was like, oh, he's a big, lengthy guy, good wide receiver. We could probably use that. Don't know if we'd spend a third round pick. But looking at it now after the combine, the Lions had a formal visit with him as well as a few other wide receivers.
They did.
And it just made me think even more, that's a spot where we could grab Xavier Leggett right there. So that's all I'm going to say. I talked about him last week. You guys know the stats and how I feel about him. I just think it's even more realistic that that could happen now.
So something I want to throw out there based on this, my round 373rd pick is also a wide receiver. He struggles with speed and getting off the line and shedding people as far as cornerbacks and safeties. But he's also 6'6", and he is a super athletic person, like a freak athlete. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State.
Yeah, I saw some stuff on him. I saw he had measured a crazy wingspan.
Record-setting.
Yeah.
Record-setting for a wide receiver. He's big. If he had the speed, he'd remind me in pads of Kelvin Johnson if he had the speed. Not saying that he will ever ever be a Calvin Johnson. I do not think
there will never
be
another Calvin.
Correct. Johnson. Correct. Thank you. But he would look like Calvin Johnson in pads if he had the speed. But I really like him. I also want to throw out there that if we do make that Legarius Sneed trade, Adonai Mitchell is the guy I'm going for in the first round. That's the guy. I like him. I think he's awesome. He's got the size like we're talking. I'm just throwing that out there. But Johnny Wilson, the only knock on him is speed. He's a freak athlete. If you watch his production, if you watch his videos, he's catching footballs over top of double teams. Very similar to somebody we've seen on the Lions in the past. He's up there. We've got our speed guy. I've already said this. We've got our speed guy. We've got our running backs. We've got our slant guy. This is the piece to me on offense.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I will say that in my recent first round mock draft of all the teams, I did have Texas's Mitchell wide receiver going in the first round.
Yes, that's what
I'm 32 to the Chiefs.
That's what I'm saying. If we have to drop our second round pick for Legarius Sneed and we end up with that cornerback, I would give up trading into the second round and I would take a first round receiver and it would be Adonai Mitchell.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think we're good there. I don't have anything really to say. I probably won't have anything to say about your next guy either because, I mean, he's just going to be one of those guys that I'm not going to have much to say about.
He's from Georgia, so you can't go wrong, that's for sure, at least for the last 3 or 4 years. Round 3, pick 90, I took center Cedric Van Pran. I think that he is a good person to be training and getting ready for when our number one in the league center now finally hangs it up, because he alluded to that this year and it made me a little nervous, but he's back, old Frank Ragnow. But I think Van Pran had some good output, and obviously he was on a championship team last year. In case anybody doesn't know, he wasn't on the championship team this year because that was the University of Michigan Wolverines. But I liked him. And then I'll just go right into round 3, pick 90.
Really quick. Van Pran, I didn't have much to say about him. He did not have a great combine. There were a lot of knocks on him.
He did not.
I think he was originally supposed to be a second round possibly guy.
Yep.
And not anymore.
But I'm willing to say, and this is a Tavondre Sweat knock. Unfortunately, this goes against what I did. But I'm willing to say it's possible people have bad days. From what he's shown outside of that, he's super good. And that kind of agreed with the Sweat thing on that.
We'll see how he does at his pro day. Sometimes those things fix.
We'll have our mock threes based on free agency and what the pro days look like. We'll do mock threes and we'll see.
I'm sure mock threes will be done just free agency because pro days are pretty spread out. Those things are pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Unless we do it an early week of the draft. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. My last pick in the third round is I stuck with guard Mason McCormick. I think he did well in the combine. I don't think he like wowed anybody in the combine, but I think for a late third round pick, I think he's a good fill-in guard for the future. So
yeah, no, I don't have anything to say. He's a big boy, and we talked about him last week. So
yep. All right. Round 4. What do you got?
Round 4 pick. Number nothing, because I don't have a round 4
okay.
pick.
Neither do I, because I didn't grab one and we don't have one.
The Lions don't have one this year.
Round 5.
Are you starting at 163?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I am too. So I'll start round 5, pick 163. I have, last week I talked about taking a guard from the University of Michigan. He's a center, I guess, the one I took last week. But I'm taking a true guard this time. And I'm still staying at the University of Michigan. This time I'm going to grab Trevor Keegan.
Okay, so you didn't go with Zach Zinter. You did not do that.
No, I think Hutchinson needs somebody that he can have fun applying face paint with.
Okay. Because, I was like, are you saying he's on offense?
He needs a former teammate that he can have fun applying face paint with, because Hutch does his signature, you know, one streak over the eye.
Yep.
Trevor Keegan looks like he paints a freaking skull on his face. He, like, hollows out around his eyes with black.
Yeah, I think he just, like, dips his face in black paint.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, he's a great guard. He'll be a stalwart there. He might not be a starter right away, but he can be a rotation piece, and I think that's all we need.
That's what we need for guard, as long as Glasgow gets re-signed.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm not going to dive into any these day three guys too deep because they're day three guys, and you're not going to know much about them until they get on the field.
No, and I've got round five, pick 163 as well, and I took a defensive interior guy, and I don't have much to say about him other than I'm super annoyed when you're trying to look up stats of somebody, and he has the same name as somebody that was drafted last year.
I was just going to say, I got confused.
And I couldn't find anything on this guy. But he did look good. Based on his stats, I didn't see much of him in the combine. I'll be completely honest with you guys. Again, it's day three. I'm picking spots to fill gaps here. And Miles Murphy out of North Carolina is who I grabbed. PFF said that's a B+, and I said, thumbs up, I'll put him in there then.
I don't think I've gotten higher than a C+ grade on a PFF draft so far, but that's just because they don't know their stuff as well as I do. So I'm just joking.
Round six.
Round six, pick 207. Last time I had the Lions taking a kicker in the seventh round. This time I have them taking one in the sixth round, and it's going to be Harrison Mevis.
And I'm going to stop Missouri. You. And I'm going to stop you. What? And you can go ahead and have your flowers, and you can go ahead and say whatever you want after this. But you really made me mad. Because last week I sat here on our mock and I said, I don't really want a kicker in the draft. I think that's silly. And then I decided I was going to take a kicker. And I'm like, you know what? Brennan and I are going to agree on a kicker in the seventh round. And then you went and changed it and moved up a round.
No, I still like Will Ricard from Alabama. I still like him. I just did this in the interest of shaking it up. I don't want to take... That would have been two of the same guys that I took in back-to-back drafts. Yeah, well, that's because you're an idiot.
Hey, I dropped Brendan Rice. I dropped Frank Gore Jr. Anti-Chill.
So yeah, because you're finally giving up on the nepotism.
Okay. All right, what do you got on him?
Not much.
What made you choose him over Ricard other than I don't want to choose the same guy?
I don't know. I don't think you can go wrong with either guy. I'm not going to say anything, but Mevis, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of this guy.
Yep.
He is a big boy.
Yep. And he's not super tall, so
he does not look like a kicker. He looks like he should be drinking a six pack of beer on his couch.
Okay. Well, that's a good reason to take somebody in the NFL draft, then,
I guess.
He's
pretty accurate. He's hit a good deal from 50+, which is what we need. I think his career long is like 61 or 62 or something like that.
I remember watching that game, and I was shocked that he made it. But, I mean, I think it was a high-pressure kick, too, if I remember right. But, all right, round six, pick 207. I came back to Michigan again, and I took another cornerback, and I grabbed Josh Wallace. His play speaks for himself. He's a national champion. He was in with Mike Sainerstill. He was in with Will Johnson. And if you've got cornerbacks like that, you're not allowed to be just a pushover. There's no way, or you're not playing.
No, I think that's a good spot for him because I don't think he's going to be a big contributor. He's going to be a rotation guy.
Yep, that's why I grabbed him in the sixth round. I like it.
I don't have a problem with it. You're going to hate me for this next one, though.
I already do, but go ahead.
Round seven, pick 247. We are grabbing a Buckeye.
I do hate you.
We are taking...
Confirmed.
Safety Josh Proctor out of Ohio State.
I don't hate you because I had him for a second and then I decided no.
I don't know much about him. Like I said, I haven't dove into the day three guys very much. I just know that we're going to have a need there. And spoiler alert, I think we pick up a safety in free agency. I think we're going to get one of those veteran guys that just got let go that's not going to demand too much money.
Simmons.
I don't know. Simmons might demand a little bit of money. He's an all-pro and a multiple-time pro bowler.
We'll see. If I had to dream about any of those safeties being on the Lions, I think I'd pick Simmons.
I like Cam Curl out of Washington.
I forgot to mention Cam Curl in our last segment. Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. There's so many safeties. I forgot one.
I like Cam Curl.
Okay. So are you done with that?
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
The only thing I will give you, I will say that's a good pick because say, you know, for example, the Lions go and lose games, the Ohio State Buckeye will know exactly how to console people.
Good for you.
Sorry, I just lost it there. And I'm sure I lost people there, too. All right, round seven, pick 247. I already kind of said who I was taking. Will Rickard, is it Rickard or Rickard? I say Rickard. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Who cares, man?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
We'll find out. Gonna kick field goals for
we'll
us.
Find out when he's suited up in a Lions uniform on
we'll
Sunday.
We'll find out when we're cheering for him going to the Lions at the draft.
We'll find
out. I'll have my Will Rickard jersey on.
We'll find out when he tosses a few touchdowns because Dan Campbell decided to go crazy and do something.
I don't know, man. We don't have Khalil Dorsey to catch the ball now. So.
Well, we got Panay Sewell that can catch it.
Yeah, tight end 1.5. He's not even tight end 2. Okay, that shores up my mock draft. Are you done?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, well then I guess that's mock draft 2, everybody. And like we said, we will have a mock draft 3 after free agency, after some, like you said, after some of those pro days happen. So we'll have a good feeling of who landed where on the little free agent carousel, and then we'll be able to make an even more informed decision on who makes sense for the Lions.
We'll move into our next segment, which is That Was Random. We tried to name this one That's So Random, but apparently there's a copyright there, something about a Nickelodeon show back in the 90s. I don't know.
Wait, I thought that was That's So Raven.
No. Well, yeah, there is That's So Raven, but... what? No, you're right. You're right. That sorry, I got mine mixed up. There is a... What was that sketch show on Nickelodeon?
All That?
Yeah, sorry, I was getting that mixed up. There was a parody, or like a, not a parody, but almost like a Disney knockoff in the 2000s when they had Demi Lovato there, and they had a show called So Random.
There we go.
And it was essentially the Disney Channel knockoff
there
of all
we
that.
Go. So we
and now that
so
we've
random.
Battled around that, and it was awfully random to be doing that, we'll move into our first item to discuss here. We've got Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles. Hanging it up, finally hanging it up. After all the speculation, he's decided in about the most emotional and longest press conference I've ever seen, he announced his retirement from the NFL.
Let me just say, okay, most, not all, but most people at retirement, if they did what he did, I would have rolled my eyes. But there's just something about that, about Jason Kelce and Travis too, I guess, a little bit. There's just something about them that makes you, they're polarizing. You just want to listen to more.
Well, yeah, and Travis right now is just because he's got eyes of every gender.
Swifty.
And all over the world, really, that are watching him. So that's why there, and Jason's kind of tagged along with that, but he's got his own, you know, character.
He's a character, man, and that's, I'm, you know, it's honestly sad when you see a good, I hate saying the word generational, but when you see a generational center play like that, or go, when you see him go, it's sad. But question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who does he hand the torch over to? Because in my opinion, he was the undisputed best center in the league up till he retired. Who does he hand that torch to?
I will say not undisputed. He was the best center. But he,
arguably undisputed.
He could. This is what I'm going to say. Last season, we had a 1A, 1B situation where Jason Kelce's 1A, and he's going to get that just off proven production and length of play. 1B is Frank Ragnow, was Frank Ragnow.
Yep.
Frank Ragnow is now 1A, and I don't think we move off of that 1A, 1B thing. Okay. Because I think you have Frank Ragnow, who's that best guy at center. But Creed Humphrey in Kansas City is one heck of a football player. And he has been since he got drafted.
He's good. He might have won a Super Bowl or two.
Yeah. No, he's good. That he. I remember when the Chiefs...
Good. Don't say it like you're arguing.
When the Chiefs drafted him, they were essentially rebuilding their offensive line. And there were a lot of them that were like, oh, well, they're drafting these guys and they'll be good eventually. They drafted him, and he was like, I think he was an all-pro his rookie year.
Yep.
If not, awfully
I think you're right. I think, or yeah, like you're saying, I think he was in the very serious talks for it either way. But, yeah, I agree. I think, I'm not super up on Creed Humphrey and not super high on him, honestly. I mean, he's good, but I'm biased too. But I think Frank Ragnow is the torch holder at this point. Maybe 1A, 1B, but if I had to say for sure who was 1, it is for sure him, and I think you're saying that too, but, yeah. So, Good riddance, Jason Kelce.
I'm not going to say that.
Well, he is an Eagle, so to me, in my opinion, good riddance. But I do
if
like him.
If he was a Cowboy, yeah, but I don't have any like super ill will towards the Eagles.
I don't either. I'm just messing. Okay. Our second topic for That Was Random comes out of college, actually. And, fellas, we are finally getting a college football game back. Finally. And
I'm waiting.
Somebody in the college is possibly being a butthead about it.
Well, so, you know, it came out that the NCAA game has reached over 10,000 athletes who have agreed to give their likeness to the game.
For some money.
Yep, they get $600 each and a copy of the game when it releases. One notable guy, though, about the only one that I've heard so far that has said no, is Arch Manning.
Yeah.
From Texas.
Do you think, okay, let me go ahead and just explain real quick, and then I'll ask you. So he said that he wants to focus on football, and that's the reason why he doesn't want to be in the game, and that he will not be in the game until he is quarterback number one for Texas. Do you think that that is clout, or do you think that he's serious in saying that?
To me, it's like, okay, you don't want to be in the game, and that's fine. I respect anyone who says they don't want to be in the game. That's fine.
That's your choice, Marshawn Lynch.
But don't go give me some bull crap about you have to focus on playing on the field.
What does that have to do with being in a football video
first
game?
First of all, Arch Manning, you're not playing on the field because Quinn Ewers is coming back, and you weren't even able to crack QB2 last year.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Second of all, I have absolutely no doubt that this wasn't even Arch Manning saying this. This was Arch Manning's corner saying this, his team, his family, saying the Manning name is worth more than $600.
You went there.
Absolutely not giving the likeness of one of our family members to you for less than
$600. Thank you, Brendan. Man, you didn't even see my notes. Do you know what this is to me? This is Eli Manning getting drafted by the San Diego Chargers and refusing to play for them and then going to the Giants.
Yeah.
This is the same bullcrap that he pulled. It's the same attitude.
And listen, I'm gonna say it. I wouldn't have a problem if he would just come out and say that. Like, just come out and say,
my name is
worth
more
than
$600. Exactly.
Don't come out and give me some bullcrap about, I got to keep my focus on the field.
Right, and then double down and say, not until I'm quarterback one.
Are you seriously telling me that giving your signing a piece of paper is taking your focus away from football? How many other, you know, pieces of paper have you signed for NIL to get money?
Right. Yeah, you
is
know
that
he's
taking your focus away from football.
He's getting paid in other ways.
That's
bullcrap. I'm telling you, maybe they believe in voodoo, man. Maybe they believe that if someone does bad on the game with him that he's going to play bad. Maybe that's what it is. I'm totally being stupid. I'm joking. But I think that to me, again, this is just, and I'm gonna say Peyton. I don't know that much about what he did, but I never saw any of these stupid antics with him. I'm talking to Eli. I'm saying Eli pulled the same bullcrap that Arch is pulling right now. The same type entitlement style feeling. And this is again just an opinion because this is all he's said about it. But that's my opinion. Exactly what you said is he thinks he's worth more than that, or he's being told his name is worth more than that, and so they're thinking they're going to bargain or they're just going to hold out, essentially.
Yeah, no, that's all I have to say on the matter.
Okay, and so now we're going to hit our parting shot here, and we're going to go back to the Lions, and we have added a coach on the defense, and his name is Deshae Townsend. And at the combine, one of his quotes was, "If you won't tackle, you won't play." Mm-hmm. To me, that screams Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. That is encompassing of how they, you know, that is a Dan Campbell quote if I've ever heard one. He might have said something like, "If you won't bite somebody's kneecap off, you won't play," or, you know, "If you have three toes and whatever, then I'll make you play." I don't know. But this just screams exactly the kind of thing that he would say. First of all, I guess, what are your thoughts on that comment? Do you think he actually holds true to that? And do you also think if he does well with his mentality that he's showing right there in that quote, is he a possible contingency plan for AG?
No.
There's like right two questions that, there, no. And you're saying no.
I think that mentality is great, and that's what they need, and I think that's going to be what they do with corner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, whoever they go after, you're going to be a good coverage guy, but you better be able to tackle, too.
Do you see them actually getting benched if they don't tackle?
Depends on who it is.
Right.
If you have, like, a Legarius Sneed, you're not going to bench him.
Right. Okay.
You might get after him, but you're not going to bench him.
Or give him maybe a couple plays off or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay.
You didn't give me the other chance, the contingency plan.
Well, you just sat there and said no and then paused
for 25
minutes.
Well, that was what I was saying no to, was the contingency plan. See?
Okay.
I don't think he's a contingency plan just because Aaron Glenn, I don't know. If he gets fired midseason, he'd have to do something pretty crazy.
No.
What do you mean? Oh, in case he gets hired somewhere?
He goes somewhere next year or something.
Oh, well, still no, because I think there's other guys on that defense that have been there longer.
Okay.
In my opinion, I think the next guy up for them right now is their linebackers coach. I think Calvin Shepard deserves a nod, if anyone.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely wasn't. I was not saying that he gets let go midseason. Okay.
If AG gets let go midseason, still, even I'll throw that out there. I don't think he should, but if he does, it's still going to be Shep as the next guy up. I think.
Gotcha. Okay. So our last point here on our parting shot, the only reason this is in parting shot and not that was random is because it is including or involving a Lions player, but it's pretty stinking random. Jameson Williams to KC was thrown out by a Chiefs fan. He even went as far as to post JMO in a red and white suit in front of an NFL combine backdrop. Everybody thought that was this year's, why would he be at that? But it was actually from 2022 when he was going to be drafted, and he played for Bama, so red and white made sense, but people took this and ran with it, thinking it was a current photo and that he was going to get traded for Legarius Sneed, and this actually gained traction on X and around some news places on the internet.
Well, of course it is. People are just stupid. Listen here. First of all, if JMO were to get traded, there's no way that it was just going to be a straight-up Legarius Sneed for JMO trade. Are you stupid?
No.
He's still got, two more years on his rookie deal?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the Chiefs would have to give us Legarius Sneed and then pony up a pick, too, in order to get JMO.
Yep. If you want to play the opposite of that, honestly, JMO is proven to the Lions, but nobody around the league believes in JMO. I'm going to be honest, and unfortunately, outside of the Lions, there aren't very many people that JMO's on their radar yet. Will he be? Hell yeah, he's coming this year, I'm telling you right now. But
and
I don't think he's on.
Just like that, we have to mark the podcast explicit.
No, we don't, man. All right, anyway, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs front office is calling, the Lions and saying, hey, I'll trade you straight up Legarius Sneed for Jameson Williams, so throw that guy in a suit and take him to the combine.
No, it's just stupid. Don't ever trust these burner accounts on X. They're just trying to get a rise out of you, and obviously it worked this week.
It worked, you guys. Y'all fell for it, or somebody did. And that concludes our episode on our free agency 2.0s and our post-combine comments and thoughts. Make sure you guys follow us on X and continue to follow us and listen here every week. We will be bringing you a whole lot of free agency stuff next week. I'm sure stuff's going to start moving like crazy. We will definitely be there to cover as much of it as we possibly can, especially if it involves the Lions. So until next week,
go Lions.
Go Lions, baby.